Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 and AM 760 in Hawaii. I'm joined, as always, by Armani Buckets and Brandon Deutsch. How are we doing?
Doing fantastic, except a little nervous for tonight. Must win game for my 49ers, who should be 3-0 if it wasn't for Kyle's play calling. I'm going to call him out. Everyone calls him one of the best coaches in the NFL, and he is until the second half. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of a big half, kind of a big quarter that he doesn't know what to call plays in the fourth. But no Trent Williams. I'm a bit scared. I predicted the Rams would win. I still think the Rams are going to win tonight.
Yeah. Should be an exciting game. I am not doing so well. I hope, Jihei, you are all right if you're listening to this, but I'm glad that you're not here today, to be honest with you, because I would have given you a piece of my mind. Her football team is not better than the Chicago Bears, and that game, my goodness, I was so upset, frustrated, all the emotions at once. It's one of those moments where you have a new head coach, and you're like, oh, this guy might be, like, bad, and yeah. It's like, oh, when we're stuck with him for the foreseeable future. And the offensive coordinator, I don't want to get too Bears-centric here, but it was, even for a season that was supposed to have no expectations, they still managed to crush your, unlike, there is no expectations, and they still
so
managed to go under the
season,
bar.
Right?
Like, not really, but.
At the very least, you were.
I mean, they beat a championship-level team in week one.
That's right. No, but like he didn't even watch a year ago. Like you do.
I was
totally
out.
Yeah. But
and two now, and one, you're like, okay. Yeah.
Khalil Herbert's that guy, man.
Yeah. It was one of those things. I don't know if you guys saw the game, but it was 3rd and 2 with 3 minutes left. We're down by 8. We run it right up the middle when the whole Giants defense was literally waiting on it. And then 4th and 2, they decide to punt. Yeah. It's like you literally are coaching like a coward. An absolute
Well, what about,
coward.
It's also like the fumble hurt.
And the fumble, and there was a lot. And the Giants, by the way, both quarterbacks got hurt at one point, so yeah. They didn't have a quarterback in.
Saquon
was playing quarterback. It's, I hope you're feeling better, but geez, I'm glad you're not here today because I was so pissed at the Giants. So pissed.
All right. With that said, let's get to today's headlines brought to you by the Sporting Tribune. The Sporting Tribune is your go-to destination for the best coverage of your favorite teams in Southern California, Las Vegas, and Hawaii. No paywalls, no clickbait, no pop-ups, just your teams and a clean reading experience. Visit thesportingtribune.com today. Hit it, Armani Buckets.
All right, well, the Chargers, they bounced back a little bit. They beat the Houston Texans 34-24, but it wasn't easy as the Texans got within 3 in the fourth quarter before Justin Herbert and Austin Eckler put them away. The Chargers gave up 130-plus yards rushing for the second consecutive week, and how big of a concern is that for you guys moving forward?
That's a big concern. I mean, here's the thing. You want to feel good about this Chargers win, but at the end of the day, they beat a Houston team that has not won this season, so it's not, you know, this amazing win. Not only that, it could have been a blowout, and as you just touched on, it was a 3-point game late. So happy that they finally ran the football. I was thinking of you, Brandon. I was like,
"Yep, that's
they,
exactly
they
what
haven't
I said."
Done that all year. But listen, it's not a win where I'm thinking everything's okay. Happy to see Herbert look like himself. He did not look like himself against the Jaguars, but. If they can run the ball, if Herbert can play like that, the issue with them, Joey Bosa, we're finding out he's going to be out for at least 2 months. That's a problem.
That's why they're giving up so many rush yards. Yeah. I mean, it's not like the rush defense was dominant before, but really they only have Khalil Mack, right? I mean, Kenneth Murray comes in. He's still young. He has to improve. They're giving up. I mean, Damian Pierce is good, but he's a rookie, you know, like he's a rookie, and they gave up that 75 plus yard run, and Nick, yeah, he's great. He could be the truth. But then they also gave up 150 plus rush yards to James Robinson, Travis Etienne the week before. It's a problem. Their secondary has looked good with J.C. Jackson back, but they're playing the Texans and they almost blew that game. It almost looked like storybook Chargers for a second when Houston was within three. And thank gosh for Austin Eckler. Like I've been saying, I was said on the radio last week, Brandon Staley, please run Austin Eckler more and more. You know, he's elusive. Get him involved. Take pressure off of Herbert, and then his passing attack, the passing attack, will flourish because of that. They were trying to just pass every single time the week previous against Jacksonville with a hurt quarterback, and that obviously didn't work. And now look what happened. The run game, it expanded the passing attack, and they were able to win. But I wouldn't be happy if I'm a Chargers fan. I mean, they're 2-2. They've had two bad losses, and it's like, wow. I mean, two games they should have won. Jacksonville, they should have beat based on pure talent. I know they got drilled. And then Kansas City, if Justin Herbert didn't throw that pick six, should have won that game too, right? So I wouldn't be happy if I'm a Chargers fan. And it's a huge concern that Bosa's out, but at least good news, Slater could come back. They just said by the end of the season. Okay. They, you know, he's on the IR. They said it's possible he could be in by the playoffs, and that would be huge for them. Huge.
Well, if we're going to look ahead to the playoffs, then these are the games that they have to take care of. And looking forward at their schedule, the next two are also games that they should take care of. They have the Browns next week. They're 3-point favorites. And then the Broncos the week after. I know that they're depleted, but it should be a 4-2 team, I think.
They will be, because Herbert's just that guy. You know, the Broncos are not a good football team. They're frauds. I mean, we saw the game they should have lost against the 49ers. They really should have lost previous week as well. They won. Okay, they almost lost to the Texans, by the way, too. Javonte Williams is out. They really have no running back. They have Mr. Fumble, Melvin Gordon. You know, then they have a practice squad running back, Boone, playing or whatever now. So it's like, yeah, those are two games they should win. The Browns are not good. I said the Falcons would beat them. They did. I mean, this should be a 4-2 team just based on Austin Eckler and Justin Herbert and Mike Williams. They just have more talent.
Well, by the way, the Jags are a very good team. They did not beat Philadelphia.
I thought they would. I was wrong.
No, but they should have. I mean, listen, I mean, they took that big lead. So, listen, with the Chargers, you can't get blown out at home by the Jags, but it's not like the Jags are not a good
team.
That
was more, yes, but it's more about, like, the Chargers are a better team, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, and I'm not biased at all, I'm not a Chargers fan by any means, but it's like, if you're just looking at the stature of the roster, that should have been a much closer game if Brandon Staley calls that game better.
Yeah.
That should be a one-score game at the worst. You know, he wasn't running the football. Everybody knew that they were passing the ball, and they just locked down with their secondary that game.
Straight up.
I mean, that was the difference. That's why it was 38-10. But that's something you're going to look back on. And every year we look back on the Chargers, one game they should have won. The one game they should have been close. And it's like a loss, you know? And that's why they are always like 9-8.
And typically, I feel like that game was this game. So at least, you know, Houston is not a good team, but at least they found a way to pull it out. Speaking of big games, one of the biggest rivalries in sports happens tonight, an NFC Championship rematch between the Rams and the 49ers in Santa Clara. The 49ers are without two of their best players, lineman Trent Williams and safety Jimmy Ward. What do the Rams need to do to win their first regular season game against the Niners in 2 years?
You know, the problem was a year ago when they played on Monday night. That game was a blowout, and I mean, the Rams were so excited going into that game. They had just gotten Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr. This game will be close. I do think for the Rams to win, it has to be a one-score game late. Why? Because for whatever reason, and we've talked about this before, the 49ers own the Rams. Even forget about the championship game. They had a big lead last game of the season at SoFi Stadium. Ton of red in the crowd. We've talked about that for a while now. If that is a close game late, and if the Rams have a lead, I just think the confidence of being in that position, for whatever reason, in Santa Clara in particular, those games have not been close. At home, they have been. But I really like the Rams tonight. And listen, the big thing for them, this is why you're calling it a must-win game. If the Rams can find a way to win tonight, driver's seat in the division, two-game lead. Huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, well, I guess it's a one-game lead because Arizona, but Arizona's not good. Like, we all know
I'm not
that.
Concerned with Arizona.
Yeah, exactly.
And Seattle.
Well, Seattle, yeah, Gino's been great. Hats off to him, but like Seattle's going nowhere. Let's be real, you know. It's a two-team division. It's 49ers and Rams. 49ers should be 3-0. They're not. And it's one of those things where for whatever reason, they're going to come out motivated. They always play better in Santa Clara. They always play well at home. They dominated the Seahawks, who are actually not as bad as we think. I know they're going nowhere, I just said, but they're 2-2. They dominated them at home a couple weeks ago. And, you know, they need to win. The Rams might have that lack of intensity. That's the only thing that concerns me about the Rams in this game is, like, you know that Debo Samuel is going to go off. He always does against the Rams. You know Jimmy Garoppolo will have a much better game probably than he did last week because he always goes off against the Rams, right? It's one of those things where can Matthew Stafford limit the turnovers? That's going to be number one. We know Kupp's going to get his. It's whether he can get Allen Robinson involved, whether he can get Cam Akers or Daryl Henderson involved. I'm not too high on the Rams offense, to be honest with you guys, this year. I mean, I just think besides Kupp, Robinson's been mediocre. I know they're not getting him the ball, targeting him. Cam Akers is one of the worst starting running backs in the NFL, in my opinion, Mr. Fumble. Daryl Henderson's fine, but like he's not a star. So you really need someone else to step up. It's going to have to be Allen Robinson or Tyler Higbee, who usually plays really well against the 49ers. But I do think that, you know, the Rams are a more talented team right now than the 49ers, and they're a better team right now. If you just look at it, the Niners are 1-2. No Trent Williams hurts. What Aaron Donald's going to just go to town on Jimmy Garoppolo. No one's going to be able to guard him, right? Trent Williams is the guy you could put on Aaron Donald and at least protect Jimmy a little longer.
Yeah.
That's huge. Now they have no line, which means their run game's going to be depleted. You're going to have to rely on Jimmy Garoppolo to pass the ball more, which, you know, he's still getting into a rhythm, right? So this is why the Rams will win this game. And I think they have to win this game because they're going to lose at home on October 30th because then the Niners are going to have their full roster. Eli Mitchell might even be back by that
point. That's a very good point. Yeah, this. With that being said, that is a very important game now tonight. Not to say any division game isn't important, but this one, I mean, you guys hit it. Two-game lead in the division over basically the biggest threat. And I agree, Brandon. I think you hit the nail on the head. Bigger games, the star players are going to be try to be taken out of the game. Cooper Kupp, so it's going to come down to Higbee, Robinson, Akers, the secondary players that are going to have to step up and make big plays. And I honestly think at some point this season, I think this is hopefully the week that Allen Robinson actually plays like he did few years ago, because he's not old. Yeah. I don't understand what's happened to him.
It's so tough though, because the Niners, and I've been adamant about this, they have the best defense in football, in my opinion. With, you can put it up there with the Buffalo Bills. I think the Bills now without Micah Hyde, I would say the 49ers probably have the best defense in the NFL. And Jake was saying, oh, it's Tampa, and then I was like, watch him give up 30 plus points tonight, and they did, right? So it's one of those things, like the Niners have a Super Bowl defense, but let's see how they play against a real test. The Niners haven't played anybody, right? So that was Jake's point, and I agree. Let's see if the Niners defense is legit and if Jimmy only has to put up 20 points to win or 25 points to win. But I think this is going to be a close game either way, even without Trent Williams.
Well, I'm excited to see it. Speaking of big games, the Raiders won a big divisional game against the Broncos yesterday thanks to Josh Jacobs' 2 touchdowns and some timely passing from Derek Carr. Do they have any shot next week, guys, to beat the Chiefs on Monday night?
Of course they have a shot. It's a divisional game. And listen, there's a lot of talent on this team. But the problem with the Raiders, and we've talked about this, I don't think Josh McDaniels is a very good coach, and I don't know if they give him a long rope here, like a couple of seasons. But this is not a 0-3 team that was, you know, trying to win their first game of the season. And again, happy that they finally won, but they have a shot. I don't obviously think that they're going to beat the Chiefs, but there's way too much talent on this team for them to be where they are right now. And this division is so hard, so tough. I don't think they're competing this year. And if I'm the Raiders, I'm thinking, oh man, what did I do with Josh McDaniels? By the way, this is his third chance of the head coach or second? I mean, he wasn't second.
He was terrible.
He was a terrible.
I mean, I don't know why they hire, why teams continue to hire Belichick guys when we all know it's Belichick. Exactly. It's not their guys. It's not the guys that work with them, right? Like those guys have all sucked as head coaches. Patricia, you know, McDaniels, all these guys are just abysmal head coaches. McDaniels should have been fired after last week, in my opinion. Like, I mean, he should have never been hired. But like, how do you blow? He should have been fired after the Arizona game. I mean, straight up. He's not a good coach. This is a team that won 10 games last year. You add Devontae Adams and they're somehow worse. Now, that's applicable to the coaching, right? That has nothing to do with the talent of this roster. I do think it's going to be a game. And I think the Raiders do have a chance to win this game simply because they need to win this game. We talk about how the Niners need to win tonight. The Raiders aren't as injury prone as the Niners right now. So if the Niners had Trent Williams and Jimmy Ward, it would be over. The Niners would win tonight, but they don't, right? That's huge. So the Raiders don't have serious injuries right now, you know, other than Hunter Renfro maybe, but like Mac Hollins has been a beast. And Renfro is probably back next week. So this is a game that I think is going to go down to the wire, but it's just Pat Mahomes is just that dude, man. It's hard. It's hard. But if they lose this game, go to 1-4, it's really bad for them. So I think they're going to do everything in their power to keep this game close.
Yeah, I heard what you said, Arash. Divisional game, you know, anything can happen. Sure. But we all saw what the Chiefs looked like last night. I just don't see a way at home in a primetime setting coming off of that kind of win. And also, we just talked about the Rams being able to kind of distance themselves from San Francisco. If you're looking at the Chiefs division right now, I think they are not afraid of Denver, or they shouldn't be. And basically, it's them, the Chargers, and if the Raiders can catch up here, it's the Raiders as well. But this is a chance to give them a three-game cushion on the Raiders, basically take the Raiders out of the divisional race. I don't think that the Raiders really have a chance in that game. Although, you know, Derek Carr in a shootout, it's possible, I guess. I see where you're coming from, but I got the Chiefs. I'm sorry. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen the latest article by The Athletic. The Lakers have their first preseason game tonight. Anthony Davis is questionable already due to lower back tightness.
Already.
Well, he's already. Probable already. Now. I think he got improved to probable, but still.
And Shams Charania just dropped another article about Russell Westbrook. I don't know if you guys have had the chance to read it. But
I got a sneak peek at it. But if you want to...
Some of the major details. The Lakers' key decision makers have seriously considered trading Russell Westbrook and unprotected 2027-2029 picks to the Pacers for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. Now, this is not regurgitated from months ago. This is literally this morning from Shams. And then it also said, LeBron has shown support publicly and privately to integrating Westbrook and playing with the former league MVP this season. But again, these reports keep popping up, and this is on the eve of training camp and all this stuff. So what do you guys think about the Lakers heading into tonight's game?
It's fascinating, you know, because I always look at the timing for when these stories drop. You know, like, will a trade happen this season? I really think that they've been working very hard to make this deal happen, and I think at some point in time we do see a deal made. But the timing is very curious going into the first game of the season. First preseason game of the season, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, Westbrook, I feel like he's going to have a better year. I think it's inevitable, especially not shooting-wise, but at least decision-making and gelling with the team. At the same time, two picks for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield is a bit much. Do they make the trade? Should they make the trade? I mean, if you think about it, yes, you're giving up your future, but at least you can contend for a championship with Miles Turner and Buddy Hield paired, because those are two perfect fits, right? AD doesn't want to play center. You put Miles Turner at center, and you get rid of a guard when you're guard heavy, right? And you get back a shooter that's knocked down, that LeBron, that late in the game, LeBron can get open and Buddy Hield will keep you in the game. They don't have a shooter like that right now. They just simply don't. So from the fit perspective, this is a great deal. But let's be real here. If Indiana's trading Miles Turner and Buddy Hield to anybody else, they're not asking for two picks. This has become
the Lakers
pattern. The Lakers tax. The Lakers have to give more because they're the Lakers and everybody hates the Lakers, right? That's just the truth right now. And they think they can take advantage of Rob Pelinka, and they probably can. No offense to Rob Pelinka, who I'm sure is a very nice guy. Besides Matt Johnson's comments about him, I'm assuming he's a great guy. So it's one of those things that, yes, the Lakers will probably cave at some point, but if LeBron is like admiring Westbrook's development with the team right now. I mean, it's LeBron's team. If he wants him right now, they're not going to make any move.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm at the point, and I'm trying to skim through the article as we're talking here, but I'm at the point where I don't believe anything about the Miles Turner, Buddy Hield stuff until it actually happens, because it's not like the parameters of the trade are going to change significantly. The parameters of the trade have been the same for months. Literally the whole offseason, we know what the Pacers can give up. We know what the Lakers can give back. So it's like, yeah, are we going to do this or not? And it hasn't happened. So I don't really think that, although Shams is saying, you know, it might happen again now, I'm going to wait and see approach. But, you know, going into tonight's game, even if, and I know that they're legally supposed to disclose the injuries, but it's a really crappy thing for Laker fans to wake up and see Anthony Davis on the injury report literally in the first preseason game. It's just not a good look. And I bet he's healthy. I bet it's minor, but it's just,
I'd rather him just say, like, hey, listen, it's the first preseason game, he won't play. Like, just to have him the injury
but
report.
But why
are they saying low back tightness? Like, that's just a recipe.
I don't know if they can win either way. If they can win with, I mean, first preseason game, really? You're going to show up on that list?
If he doesn't play, though, can you imagine the vitriol?
But it's preseason. I mean, who's really
I agree with
screaming?
You, but social media is going to
Wait. Last preseason, they were terrible. We need a good preseason from the Lakers.
No one needs a good preseason.
Yes, they do.
A preseason doesn't mean anything.
They need
to
gel.
The Detroit Lions, the winless Detroit Lions, were undefeated in their preseason. Preseason games don't mean anything. Listen, well, we'll talk about this in a bit. I think maybe the Suns may think a little bit differently. All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by a good friend, Fernando Ramirez of the Sporting Tribune. When we come back on the Mightier 1090 of Southern California, the Fan in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment or just want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline, 310-400-0340. All right, let's go out to the Sporting Tribune guest hotline right now. The Sporting Tribune is your go-to destination for your favorite teams in Southern California, Las Vegas, and Hawaii. And the man who's covering the Chargers for this Sporting Tribune, Fernando Ramirez. Fernando, how are you?
Arash, I'm good. I actually saw one of your tweets over the weekend, and I agree. Being a San Diego guy, give my man Reggie Bush the Heisman back, retire his jersey, give him a whole spectacle. I want Bad Bunny there. I want them to just throw caution to the wind, do a whole thing for him. He deserves it, especially after all the crap he had to go through back in the day, and obviously they're still making him jump through hoops.
I mean, here's the thing about it. USC does not have to wait for the Heisman Trust to retire his jersey. At the very least, put his name back up there, retire his jersey. So hopefully that happens at some point soon. Fernando, Chargers back in the win column. It wasn't pretty. I thought it would be a blowout at some point, but then turned it close. Your thoughts on the game in Houston?
I thought it was a little bit shakier than one. Like in the first half, I thought, okay, yeah, this is exactly the team that everybody thought they were gonna be. 27-7. You're like, okay, they're coming out and they're playing well. Then in the second half, you kind of see the lapses that we've seen in the past. Gerald Everett with a drop pass on third down. He's looking more upfield to see what was going on than looking in the ball. There were some lapses there where they came out, and obviously, I think they punted the ball on the first three. They punted the ball on the first three times that they had the ball. On the fourth time, they fumble on a punt return or on a kickoff return, and that just gave Houston an in back. I don't know if it's And you talked to Brandon Staley after the game. Brandon Staley said, "Oh, it's our mentality. We have to be better. We have to do this. We have to do that." Then Justin protects offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi and says he came up with a great plan this week. That's why we were able to get so many points. But at the same time, you're kind of like, "But why? Why? Why is this happening now against the Raiders in the second half? Why is this happening now against the Chiefs in the second half?" And it happened against Jacksonville the whole game. The offense just couldn't get going. Why is that? Why do they have lapses where it just can't get going? And that was honestly my biggest question after yesterday's game. But obviously the Chargers are going to be all, "Oh, well, we won the game. That's all that matters." And then, yeah, they did. So in the fourth quarter, they put it away with a big touchdown drive by Justin Herbert. Hey, guys, guess what? Fourth and Staley's back. They go for it on fourth and two, and they end up converting. Right. And obviously Bryce Callahan with the interception to finish it off. So it was a good win, but at the same time, you kind of, if this game would have been 34-10, it would have looked a lot better. But I guess, like they say in the NFL, win's a win. But there is a little bit of hesitancy when you say a win's a win for these guys.
Hey, Fernando, I wanted to ask you about the next two games. Both games they should win, right? And do you expect them to get to 4-2? Against the Broncos and
the Browns,
right? That's what I thought.
Browns and then the Broncos on Monday Night Football. Look, that's the thing with the Chargers. It's always like they should, but will they? That's the biggest question mark. And the thing is that they should beat the next two opponents. I've said it before. Fans were throwing in the towel after Rashawn Slater and Joey Bosa went down with injuries, but Ian Rappaport said it yesterday. They could still get Rashawn Slater back if they make a run. If they make a run at the end and they're close in it, Rashawn can come back. Joey's going to be back probably about mid to end of November, so they could get reinforcements back, and that could help them. But the thing is, can they sustain this? Can they get past some of the discrepancies that they have and get over the hump and win these games? That's going to be the biggest question mark, and that's where I want to see Brandon Staley separate himself. Anthony Lynn wasn't able to do it. Mike McCoy wasn't able to do it. Can Brandon Staley separate himself? Because this is a big year, guys. I mean, if they don't make the playoffs, something's going to have to happen. I'm just going to leave it there. But they should win these next two games. But don't be fooled. I mean, Cleveland has a really good. I know they lost to Atlanta, but they have a really good defense. Myles Garrett should be back this weekend. He's going to go up against rookie Jamari Sawyer, so that's going to be a tough matchup for him. And then obviously Jacoby Brissett, and the other thing, the Chargers gave up 130 rushing yards yesterday. Well, hey, guess what? Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are on their way. You're going to play them next weekend, so they still have some things that they need to shore up. But when you go over to the Broncos, they look like the worst team in the AFC West, even though their defense is pretty good.
Fernando, I wanted to ask you about Justin Herbert because we know he's dealing with the rib issues. To me, in my opinion, he looked good yesterday. He looked like Justin Herbert. What are your thoughts about how the ribs are still affecting him at this current moment in time?
When he's done with all this and like his ribs are fine, I hope he brings in ribs to the media and be like, "Hey, here are the ribs you guys have been asking about all this time." Yesterday he looked the best that I had seen him. Now, my question is, was last week more of like the play calling was bad mixed in with we don't know how he's going to take playing with the flap jacket? And then on top of that, like, I don't know if last week was just a mixture of all these things and then Keenan Allen not playing that it kind of threw them off. But this week he looked fine. Like, he didn't look like he had a rib injury. He made throws down the field. Mike Williams was getting open, 7 catches, 120 yards. He was throwing downfield. Now, there was one where Mike really did come open, and he was about to pull the trigger, and he decided to take a slide, and he didn't want to take a hit. So I can understand that. But other than that, I thought Justin played a perfect game, and I really did think that that he needed this game before going to Cleveland. I'm telling you guys, that Cleveland game is going to be tougher than what people think. He's gonna have to get ready physically and mentally for that game, because if Jadeveon Clowney plays and so does Myles Garrett, he's going to be seeing a lot of those guys. I mean, and I'm not saying the offensive line isn't going to do their best to block, but they're a scary duo.
Fernando, what do the Chargers have to do this season? And I know that this sounds crazy, but I mean, really, I mean, you have your thumb on the fan base. I mean, they basically threw in the towel, like on the season. Again, we begin the season with all this hype and everything. What do the Chargers have to do to save Brandon Staley's job? I know that sounds odd, but Sean Payton, he's out there. And I don't think that there is a coach out there that wouldn't want to coach Justin Herbert. So that's the name that keeps popping up. Do they have to just make the playoffs? I mean, what has to happen this season?
Well, Rush, I don't even think you're just talking about Brandon Staley. I think you have to talk about Tom Telesco as well.
Oh, for sure.
Job. Yeah. I mean, him and I came in the organization at the same time in 2013. And Tom's only made the playoffs twice.
Wow.
And they've only won one game in each of the playoffs, and then they get eliminated in the divisional game. I think they need at least a victory in the make the playoffs, and then a victory within the playoffs to kind of stay level with it. But I'm just one of the opinion that if this team snuck in and they have Rashawn Slater back and they have Joey Bosa back, I think the sky, I mean, honestly, I really do think the sky would be the limit for this team, especially because you would have Khalil Mack, you would have Joey Bosa, J.C. Jackson's back. They could be a scary team if they, you've been around it, Arash. I mean, you've heard it before. If the Chargers sneak in, they could be the most dangerous team. I believe it. I mean, Justin Herbert, who doesn't know anything about the playoffs, he wouldn't play in his mind. I think he would play actually more free because he doesn't know what the playoffs are. He's never experienced it, but I truly think that they need to make the playoffs for heads not to roll in the organization. Because I know for a fact that you don't want to go into that new facility in 2024 saying, "Hey, we still have not made the playoffs with Justin Herbert." You don't want to hear that noise around the NFL. The Chargers are wasting Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
They wasted Phillip Rivers. So I mean, that's kind of, I'm sure that's exactly what the Chargers are trying to avoid.
Fernando, I wanted to ask you about tonight's game. The Rams head into this game, obviously a better team than the 49ers. 49ers need a win to stay in the hunt. But
man, I'm hyped.
What do you? I mean, this is a great rivalry and an NFC Championship rematch. What do you expect to happen tonight without Trent Williams and Jimmy Ward for the Niners? Do you think they can pull out a victory? Or do you think the Rams come into Santa Clara and go out with a W?
Tonight to me seems like a TLC match. Tables, ladders, and chairs. These guys are going to be throwing hell at each other. I'm excited. I always love when the 49ers and the Rams play each other. I think it's one of the most underrated rivalries. Everybody always points at the Steelers and the Ravens or the this and the that. This is one of my more fun rivalries. I think the pass rush for the 49ers, I mean, the Rams have their offensive line is hurt. And I think Nick Bosa tonight could have a hat trick in sacks, especially if there's no, if the Rams offensive line is hurting, which they are. So I think it's all gonna land on the pass rush. Can the pass rush get there? I'm sure McVay is gonna have 3-step drops by Matthew Stafford, but that and for that to happen, and obviously the 49ers are a veteran defensive line. Get your hands up. Try and swat the ball down. Try and get pop-ups so your guys can pick off Matthew Stafford. Matthew, I think he's still leading the league in interceptions, I believe.
Yeah.
Right now. So I mean, hey, he's a turnover machine right now. Make sure you if he's give it, you take it away and you try and get the ball out of his hands. So I definitely think the 49ers pass rush is going to get Matthew Stafford, Austin tonight.
Fernando, a question for you, and I'll have Brandon chime in. If the postseason were to start today, it is the San Diego Padres facing the New York Mets, and the Dodgers would be trying to figure out what team that they want to play. So I guess first part for you, Fernando, your thoughts on the Padres clinching the postseason berth. Really happy to see them do that. And then Brandon, I want you to chime in on who would the Dodgers want to play. I think we kind of know, but there's a chance they could have to play the New York Mets in the division series. So Fernando, first for you, the San Diego Padres, the significance, they are back in the postseason.
I love how they had to depend on somebody else to
kind of make it
in the sense. Like, they lost last night. As a former high school student who had a good grade point average, I depended on others as well for that. So I know where the Padres are coming from for it. But But, I mean, if I'm the Padres, I wouldn't want to play Atlanta right now. I'll play the Mets. I'll play St. Louis. I am not playing the Braves right now. So if you're the Padres, you try and do whatever you can to avoid the Braves. And the problem is right now, the Padres aren't, like, they're so inconsistent with hitting the ball. Pitching as well. Their starters are playing well. It's just the damn inconsistency with sometimes they get 11 runs, the next three games they get two. It's like, come on, dude, you guys got to stay consistent. But if I'm them, I don't want to play the Braves.
It also goes to this, like, this kind of new playoff format is a little concerning to me because the NL Central is the worst division in baseball, right? Pretty much, other than the AL Central. The Cardinals, right, they get to play the Phillies. Winner gets to play the Braves, not the Dodgers. So the Dodgers will likely have to play the Mets in the division series. How crazy is that? Wow. It's either them or the Braves, right? Yeah. Because, like, one of them's going to win the division. One of them's going to be the four wild card. Doesn't that suck? Shouldn't the Dodgers be able to play the Cardinals or Phillies? Like, I know that's how it is, but, man, they're going to have to get a tough matchup early. I mean, if the Padres win that series, it's free money. I mean, the Dodgers can win that series like nobody's business. Padres have no business being in the postseason, in my opinion, with the way they've played this year, especially pitching-wise. And Juan Soto just being an absolute fraud this year for whatever reason. I mean, the dude's hitting like 240. But look, the Dodgers are going to have to play the Mets or the Padres, it's looking like right now. And it's probably going to be the Mets. And that sucks.
And because we've been talking about it this entire season, for the majority of the season, what a great championship series that would be, the Dodgers-Mets.
Looks like the Braves.
And then the biggest thing about that, it's a five-game series. And anything can happen, as we know, if that happens. So, again, hopefully. But, Fernando, what's the vibe like? I mean, are Padres fans excited? Are they like, well, we kind of backdoored in? Like, this has not been a great year. Like, what's the vibe like there?
It feels like, I mean, I think fans are really excited because, I mean, I feel like they're taking that approach of, hey, we got in, anything can happen. I mean, yeah, they can get bounced out right away, or heck, they can make a run at it, maybe play the Dodgers and play them hard and all that. So I think they're just taking the approach of, hey, we got in, now let's see what we can do with it. And obviously, I think they're thinking also, oh, we're building for the future as well. We get some of these guys to get some playoff experience, and maybe next year when Tatis stops dealing with ringworm or whatever the hell he's dealing with, and he's able to come back after his suspension. That's another thing too. Some fans, it's funnier, Ross. Some fans are like, "Well, if we have a long run in the playoffs, that means less games that Tatis is suspended." It's like, dude, forget about Tatis. Just focus on the guys that are out there and that are contributing to your team this year. Unfortunately, Tatis decided to do what he did, and he's not contributing to the team. Focus on the guys who are contributing. I mean, and like I told you, Rush, Yu Darvish is pitching well. Blake Snell's pitching well. Joe Musgrove. These guys are pitching really well. Clevinger, they're pitching really well. So I think it's their middle relievers that are the relievers that are kind of the guys that give up the runs. But I think the city is excited to be back in the postseason and kind of have that, oh, let's just see what happens kind of mentality.
Fernando, I want to shift gears real quick back to the NFL. The Philadelphia Eagles are 4-0 now. They started down. They started with a 14-0 deficit yesterday, and they came back and beat Jacksonville 29-21. What are your thoughts on the Eagles, and do you think that they are currently the best team in the NFC?
Those are my Eagles. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not a fan of the Eagles. Well, I'm a fan of the Eagles. Like, this year, going into the season, I said the Eagles are the team to watch in the NFC. I like the Eagles. Darius Slay, James Bradberry. You have a good secondary out there. You have a good front seven when it comes to Fletcher Cox, Brandon Hughes. You have some good playmakers on that defense. Now, what's going to happen with the offense? Well, hey, let's go get A.J. Brown, one of the best big receivers in the NFL. Oh, and hey, we got Devontae Smith, who's one of the fastest guys that we got out of Alabama last year. Wow, okay, there you have a good combination. And then you have Dallas Goedert. You have some good running backs. The Eagles are built for this. Now, it all falls around Jalen Hurts. Like, if I was doing an SI cover, it'd be all the players standing around him and him right in the middle, because that's how I feel like this is going to be. They're going to go as Jalen Hurts goes. Yesterday, you saw at the beginning of the game, they struggled. Jalen Hurts gets it together. He starts putting drives together. And boom, they start coming back and they end up winning the game. I believe in the Eagles. I think the Eagles are the best team in the in the NFC. My question is, when they play Dallas, I'm going to be very interested to see how that game goes, especially if Cooper Rush is playing. Cooper Rush is playing. It's just going to be madness. If Dak Prescott plays, then I think the Eagles could end up, I don't want to put down Dak, but I feel like the Eagles have a better shot against Dak than they do against Cooper Rush, just because right now you're seeing Cooper Rush play with so much confidence. But I definitely like the Eagles a lot. I think they have exactly what you're looking for in a Super Bowl contending team, which is defense, offense. And like I said, we're just waiting on the quarterback play, but I think Jalen Hurts can put it together, and I feel like he's turned more into a pocket passer this year. And you have to give credit to Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen, who people questioned last year when they both got hired. Why are you guys going to get these guys? Why these guys are there? And look at them; they're flying high right now. They're the best team in the NFL, I believe.
Hey, Fernando, 1:30 here left. I wanted to ask you about the Raiders. They play the Chiefs. We talked about this in the first segment. Next Monday night. No, absolutely not. No chance.
No. No. In the words of Vince McMahon, no chance in hell. No, there's no way. Especially after what they just did at Tampa. Tampa has a way better defense than the Raiders do. No, I really don't think. I mean, the only thing is, I think Devontae Adams will go a little bit crazy, but I don't think they can hit him. I don't. Especially the Raiders yesterday didn't look that good to me either. The Raiders and the Broncos right now, to me, don't look that good. The Chiefs look like a well-oiled machine. So I definitely don't. There's no way. I don't think the Raiders hit Kansas City. I think they scare them a little bit, but I don't think they hit them.
That division, we thought before the year how great that division would be, and I still think it can be, but it's not as... It's not as intense as I thought, right? So, yeah. Chargers are Super Bowl contenders, and then, you know, the Chiefs, obviously. I mean, I think the Chiefs are the one dominant team in that conference, and we'll see where the Chargers end up. But, yeah, it's not as crazy as I thought.
Yeah. The only reason why I feel like the Chargers are the best team against Kansas City is because you can take Travis Kelce away with putting Derwin James on him, and then you make everybody else turn into guys. So that's what yesterday Tampa Bay couldn't do that. They don't have a guy that can take away a Travis Kelce. So Travis kind of took it to them. And now it's like, okay, if you're able to take away Travis, what happens? And you saw Patrick struggle in that Thursday night game against the Chargers. I'm not saying that the Chargers can beat them, but I'm just saying they're the most complete team to be able to beat Kansas City, in my opinion.
Yeah. And by the way, how great do the Chargers jerseys look? The uniforms are amazing. Still the best uniforms, I think, in the National Football League. Fernando, you're the best, my friend. I will see you soon. That's all the time that we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing. Worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark. Hard part about it, brother. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.